Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, more school choice. Also, a move to regulate gaming. And which way forward for the Alabama Cannabis Commission? Oh, surely not a repeat. Not again. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and the extraordinary Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR, an all-around great guy.
Look at the aura on him.
I'm moving up in the world. I don't know. What did I do?
You showed up.
Oh, nice.
Like all great politicians.
That's right. That's right. Well, I like that. I like that.
You know, Josh, you've done a bunch of articles on the Medical Cannabis Commission. Yeah. I've done a few myself.
Yeah.
This week we did two that kind of pointed out some glowing errors.
Mm-hmm.
You showed where they're just not following the law.
Yeah.
And to get out of this mess, they've got to follow the law.
Mm-hmm. What struck me about it is, you know, if you go and actually read the law, and I don't know if they have.
Apparently not.
But it's pretty straightforward, really. I mean, there's some complexities involved in some of the things that they must do, you know, when they're talking about judging, you know, the layouts, the security and things like that. There are some complexities down in there. But overall, just going to the facilities, for example,
prior to
giving out a license and making sure you can meet the 60-day deadline, which is in the law for production. There are so many things that if they had just followed the law to begin with, we wouldn't be in this spot that we're in with all these lawsuits.
Right. And that's one of the things, Susan, about the lawsuits. They were simply asking that they follow the law. And they made up rules. And now the scoring's out. They've tossed the scoring. So the only thing left is the law.
Yeah, and they should actually, as Josh said, read it first. I mean, it's real simple. It's not that long. And go in and pull out the salient points like we've done and say, you know, you have to have, you know, $2 million in insurance or be able to acquire it. You have to have a performance bond equal to $2 million or be able to qualify for it and show the paperwork for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. It's not as complex as they're wanting to make this.
And one of the things that we looked at this past week over at APR was the fact that those applications have been ordered to be redacted except for proprietary information.
Mm-hmm.
But Susan, an analysis that you helped prepare shows that only a little less than a third of the people who have applied actually unredacted their material. So most of it is still redacted.
I think it's only like 14 out of the 37 that have fully unredacted what was requested from them. The rest of them have just left. You can't see their performance bond. You can't see their possibility of securing a performance bond. You can't see their facilities. You can't see what their full plans are. You can't see where their distribution is going to be or where it's going to be cultivated. These are not proprietary, folks.
I mean, if you look at one of them on Google Maps, or I think it's two, Josh,
there's two of them.
It's in a dirt field.
Yeah.
There's no building there, nothing that you can facilitate the growing of marijuana.
Oh, well, now you know why they were redacted. this has been another argument that a lot of people have made, not just myself, which is, what's up with all the secrecy?
Yeah.
You know, and because whenever you get into situations like this, and you can look back at any process we've undertaken, whenever there's a lot of secrecy, on the front end of this. On the back end, everybody went, well, how the hell did we not know that?
Yeah.
You know, right. And because there's going to be some problem along the way. And you know what they're doing. They're hiding who's involved. They're hiding, you know, where their stuff is. Yeah. And or that they can't meet these deadlines.
Right, right. And then you have the situation where you've got, you know, like ASU and these historically black college and universities that have applied, but they didn't even get minority status, Josh. Yeah. And when they mentioned that they didn't get minority status, they were given the Bronx cheer.
Yeah, I don't understand. We're like, hey, you know, we probably should have gotten minority status as an HBCU. And they're like, yeah, quit telling us that, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here with this?
And the longevity is 185 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. And because they knocked them on residency.
Yeah.
And it just, it's, you know, I don't understand. When you look at that, it's Hornet Medicinals is where it is. And if you look at their plan and what they're talking about doing and the way it kind of revolutionizes what a college's involvement can be in this. And, you know, for the black community, especially, and the history that they have with marijuana and drugs in general and policing, to turn it on its head the way that they're talking, I just, you know, I don't want to be an advocate for one company over another, but I mean, my God, that application that they have is something I don't, you're not going to find a better one. I just don't understand how you don't look at that and think this is a revolutionary way to move this state forward. Well,
and there's another word that keeps coming up over and over and over in that law is expertise.
Right.
In agronomy.
Right.
Expertise, experience. You know, ASU has been in agriculture forever.
Yeah, I mean, that and Tuskegee and all that.
Tuskegee as well.
You know.
Tuskegee is involved with the company as well. Yeah. And I just don't understand how when you look at the potential for scholarships and the potential to place young people in that business environment and going forward in a new market in this state, I just don't understand how you don't give them a leg
up.
It's
just a glowing example of how inept this commission has been.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's other companies that qualify just as well. But that they didn't even get really considered shows what lack of adherence to the law.
Here. I think they relied on lawyers, bad lawyers, to give them advice without actually doing the homework. We only got about a minute, but I know I want to get to this. Senator Arthur Orr, Republican, has come up with a novel idea, Susan. He wants to untax things like baby bottles, formula,
menstrual items,
things that would help mothers and women.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Oh, it's just such a brilliant idea. Nobody's ever worked on this one before, but I do champion that maybe he can get it through.
Well,
and I know there's concerns about the taxes that's, you know, going to come out of the education trust fund as a result of reversing the taxes on this. But, you know, this is not really something like a menstrual cycle that a woman can control, but if you text ED pills, maybe you can make up the difference because that's voluntary?
First of all, tax away. I'm not a purchaser. But the other thing is novel? This is not novel. The Democrats have been pushing this for years. Listen, I appreciate Arthur Orr doing this, okay, and taking it on. And with a supermajority, maybe he can get some folks behind him and get this thing out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my God, man, don't act like we discovered gold here. We've been pushing this for years.
I think she was being a wee bit facetious.
Oh, God, yes, I was, of course.
Well, we're going to have to end it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, has made it clear that he wants to pass a comprehensive gaming bill primarily, Josh, to enforce laws against illegal gaming.
Right.
Now, we have legal gaming in this state, but there's thousands of operations of illegal gaming. And he wants to tackle that, so that means you've got to regulate it, license the people who use it, who can play the games, and also tax it. That's what we're looking at, regulation, taxation, and licensing. You have more experience, I guarantee you, than anybody in this state with reporting and understanding gaming.
Yeah.
And so give us your take on what needs to be done.
Well, so you're right. And it's a very complicated. What we've done over the course of decades is we've put together this patchwork of laws where we have, you know, county constitutional amendments, we have federal laws, we have a whole bunch of different things that work together. Not, and then the laws that we do have against gambling are, for the most part, only misdemeanors. So you have a whole lot of people that see an ability to make a whole lot of money by putting, you know, machines in the back of gas stations or wherever and raking in cash with very little risk. I mean, somebody comes in and busts you, you're out a misdemeanor charge, you know, and then you're right back operating again the next week. We saw this week that the AG's office raided another facility in Whitehall in Lowndes County. And in the press release, he said this facility was shut down in September of 2022.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were operating for 8 months before they went back over there, you know? And so that's what we're facing in the state right now is there's very little penalty for violating the law. And on top of that, the people in Lowndes will tell you they're not violating the law.
Right.
And there will be local judges who tell you they're not violating the law. And the local sheriff will tell you they're not violating the law. And under the Constitution, it's the sheriff that has the ultimate say in
right.
it. But we've somehow ignored a lot of those things. And so what we need is some way to say, here are the laws. This is the law for our state when it comes to gambling. And here's going to be the people who enforce it. This is what's going to happen to you if you break it. And it's going to be more meaningful. And here are the people who can participate legally.
You know, the other thing we talked to Speaker Ledbetter about, and we've talked our heads off about this, is that we have people operating legal gaming in the state, have for decades, Porch Band of Creek Indians, Victory Land and the Birmingham Race Course.
Green Track.
These people have done it and done it lawfully. And there are people who say, well, they, you know, if the government gives them the first shot at having a license, then that's picking winners and losers.
Well, the thing is, they have a constitution. He mentioned Lowndes County. There's also Greene County, Macon County, and Houston County that passed constitutional amendments within their counties to make it legal and, as you said, controlled by the sheriff. So, yeah, picking winners and losers, those people were already legal before any of this brouhaha started. So, you know, but we were talking about, I mean, I think the thing that the speakers were concerned about, all of us should be concerned about, is, as you said, in the back of gas stations, in the back of hair salons, whatever, where they've got these little, you know, penny machines and, you know, that are, if they're standalone, they are illegal. They are, you know, one-armed bandits. They're slot machines.
And my thing is simply this. You do not want to open this up to a criminal element to come in here.
And they will.
And we've
already done that. we've already done that. I mean, we're literally laundering money in some places. The law enforcement will tell you, we're laundering money in some places for large criminal organizations and the cartel. So I think people need to also understand is there's this line of thinking out there, well, just shut it down. Just shut down these illegal things. All right, Let me tell you what that involves. You're going to have to go to the people, and you're going to have to get them to vote on a constitutional amendment banning all gaming. And when I say all gaming, I mean the bingo hall that your grandma goes to on Friday is going to have to be banned. Because if it's not banned, then that means that bingo is legal within the state of Alabama. And that means that the Porch Creek Indians can operate their three casinos. And these other places are going to say, well, if they can operate their casinos, we can operate our casinos. Yeah. And they're doing so legally. Don't misunderstand me when I say that about the Porch Creeks. There's federal law that covers this, okay? Sure. And so you're not going to be able to stop that unless you pass something that shuts down everything. Church raffles all the way to the top.
And he says, remember, this is not under the control of the legislature. The legislature can pass the bill to put it on the ballot for it to be voted on by the people of Alabama, whom have shown that over 70% at least want to vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Governor Ivey said at the end of the 2023 session that her biggest regret for the session was that we did not pass gaming.
Yeah.
Now, what's kept us from passing gaming in the past is the House of Representatives. Now it's up to the House of Representatives in Alabama to pass something that the Senate can approve.
That's right.
And then we've got a bill. We, again, got about 2 minutes on this. But, you know, we're hearing there's going to be a big push, another big push on school choice. Last year, they came with this huge package that would basically give away $1 billion of public money, cost the state about $1 billion of public money. And so this time they're trying to come with a big package. But what we've been told, Josh, is that they're going to take the half loaf they can get or the quarter loaf they can get. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to try and eat away at public education forever.
Yeah. And that's what they're, and let me explain what they're going to do. They're going to take this money and they're going to devote public dollars to private schools, many of which are religious organizations. Yeah. All right. Now you can say, well, I don't mind it going to this Christian school over here. Okay. That's not how the law works, but you know, well, you can say that you don't mind it going to this Christian school, but I think a lot of people would say, I don't necessarily agree with this certain religion.
Right.
And if you don't, then you should have a problem with this. All right. And then on top of that, you should have a problem with a system that's going to take money out of public schools where everybody goes and everybody has an opportunity to receive transportation and food and giving it to an entity out there that's not going to provide neither to these folks. And so you know that you're going to leave behind a certain group of people in schools that you're telling everybody are failing. And so you're going to leave them there. The poorest of the poor are going to be stuck. You're going to leave them right where they are.
Well,
and they're worried about $10 million in tax relief for women.
As Groucho Marx said in Duck Soup when he ran Fredonia, if you think this place is in bad shape now, just wait till I get through with
it.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
25. As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, that's something that Josh brought up, Susan, I think is fundamental to what we're going to talk about right now. When we hear politicians say Alabama values, they mean a conservative religious base generally, but they're very vague about it. But more and more, we see politicians who are pushing a full tilt religious agenda that's not unlike religious agendas in other totalitarian countries. Here in Alabama, we don't represent, our representatives do not represent everyone's values, but they represent gerrymandered districts so that they have the majority. I wish people could understand the difference between representing all people's values and just a slim minority, because that's who they're. Maybe they vote 60% Republican, but not all Republicans agree with banning books, which we have statistics on that. But yet, the libraries have resisted this book ban. But what they're doing is they're going in and they're getting rid of the library board and then stacking the board with religious fanatics and stuff so that they can control what's in libraries. And they lie about what's in there. But this authoritarian type thing goes even further, where they're now trying to put the archives and history, 128-year-old institution, under the control of the legislature primarily. This is not what Alabama values truly are. And the young people of Alabama aren't for this.
No, they're not. Not only are they getting pushback on the library by the library boards as they are right now, but they're also getting pushback from the communities as well. So some of this is not going over so well. You mentioned archive. That goes back to when the legislature asked archive not to hold an LGBTQ, you know, history, the lack of history that's in the archive of LGBTQ. That, Chris Elliott's bill goes back to that.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with, you know, wanting a more consistent board. The board is stacked that way deliberately so that there is no politics involved in the way that we archive Alabama's history. So they are finding resistance in places, but not enough.
Josh, and they're using LGBTQ issues, they're using transgender issues as a smokescreen for authoritarian policies. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we really think these people hate LGBTQ people? Maybe they do. But if they do, do they really represent the values of most Alabamians? I don't think so.
No, I think what you're dealing with is the fact that you've got a lot of people who don't know how to govern. And so when you don't, and matter of fact, you know, Brian Lyman at the Alabama Reflector wrote a really great column this week talking about the things that our politicians in this state focus on and the things that they don't focus on. And, you know, if you run down the list of problems in this state, we have some pretty big ones, you know, healthcare, job workforce participation, there's a whole list of things out there. Nowhere on anybody's top 50 list would be the books of the library.
Yeah.
All right. But that's all you hear about from a lot of people because they have no ideas about how to tackle the tougher issues that are out there. They're not even attempting it at this point because all they're doing is trying to fearmonger people into hating certain groups of people.
Right.
So because that's going to keep them in office. What you're doing when you participate in this, and it's a very tiny percentage of people who are participating because we're gerrymandered to hell and back, but it's a very small minority of people. But when you're participating in that, all you're doing is allowing an idiot to stay in office.
Right.
All right? And that's who is, that's who's pushing this. The Susan DeBose and Chris Elliott and folks like that of the legislature, they don't know how to deal with problems. You've elected people who are too stupid to run the positions that they're in. And so this is the stuff that they come up with.
I mean, the thing is, really what bothers me, and I get exactly what you mean, is a guy like Chris Elliott is actually intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he doing this? I've asked that question. Why would you do this? Just this past week, the Russian Supreme Court ruled against LGBTQ organization, an organization that does not even exist, they said is an extremist group and can be outlawed under Russian law. Well, what it is, it's designed to outlaw anybody who represents LGBTQ people. So that Russia can crack down and say that they do not have rights as citizens, just like the Nazis did, just like Mussolini did. And look, I get that people think because of their religious belief or whatever that this is wrong. But I want to challenge you to find every word Jesus said about gay people.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find it. They're in the red letter if you have one of those dumbed down editions. Well, but you can find it.
Let me bring this
nothing.
Up. Let me bring this up too, in that the Bible is a guide for my life and how I conduct my life, not how someone else conducts theirs. Because in there it specifically says, do not judge lest you be judged.
Yeah, well, I mean, and look, it's like Thomas Jefferson said, if my neighbor worships 20 gods or no god, why should I care? It doesn't pick my pocket or break my leg.
But it simply goes back to what Josh said, in that, you know, we've got maternity wards closing. We desperately need Medicaid in this state. You know, we've got so many problems, but they don't know how to actually spell them in some instances, much less develop a policy to try to solve the problems. So they're over here, you know, hate mongering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that works.
And you know what I've found is that, and we talked about this early on, John Wall, the head of the Alabama Republican Party, is more effective than any chairman of that party that we have seen since Mike Hubbard. Mm-hmm. Because he goes out and he works the counties. And right now, the county commissions are getting rid of people on school boards because John Wall wants to limit what children young adults can read in libraries. That is one of his goals.
Yeah, we're not talking about, you know, toddlers. We're talking about 14 to 18 year olds.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, you know, that you go in and you do these things and you fire up these folks that are, you know, that get on Facebook and file all these complaints and, you know, and it's a tiny, tiny group of people.
It is.
But they've been able to, just like they've done in Autauga County recently, you know, they appoint some, you know, a right-wing nut, you know, to the board.
Yeah.
And that person then goes in and says that these books are bad. I mean, you should read some of the books that they talk about.
Yeah.
And what were, you know, there was a whole hearing in Texas recently about this, where a woman claimed that the Scholastic book companies that go around and do the book fairs were bad because they had a book that showed depicted two characters kissing. And it affected her, sent her off on this porn journey for the rest of her life.
Well,
I mean, it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
Well, anyway, it is nonsense, but this is where we are right now. Mm-hmm. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. Mm-hmm.